River ran alongside it on the left, pounding over huge tumbled boulders, its noise now deafeningly loud. On the right side of the road, the forest had thickened and darkened, massive pines gathering close together, with barely room for a man to squeeze between the trunks.
Don't like this. Can't see a quick way out if we get ourselves caught here.
Ryan nodded and stopped. He looked at the metallic gray of the icy water, and knew that nobody could hope to survive in among the rocks for more than a handful of seconds.
It'll have to be the forest!
There wasn't too much of the day remaining. Clouds were bunching over the low hills ahead of them, where the trail disappeared. Ryan was thinking about when they should stop to find a hiding place for the night. Because of the noise of the rushing river, none of them heard the clattering engine of the jeep until it roared around the corner, braking hard only 40 yards in front of them. It was filled with five armed Sekhmet.
Fire blast.
Ryan had once spent some time in a stinking prison close by the Atlantic, so close that the rising tide each day flooded the cell to within a couple of feet of the ceiling. An old man was dying there. Indeed, he finally slipped away in Ryan's arms. Before his death, he passed on to the young one-eyed man his sole piece of wisdom, one on which he had not acted himself.
When you get took prisoner, you gotta know you get more chance of breaking away in the first 5 minutes than you get in the next 5 years.
Ryan had always remembered that. And there wasn't a mess of choices. The patrol had rifles, looking at a distance mostly like Kalashnikov AK-47s. It was highly unlikely that three handguns could chill the five uniformed Sekhmet without taking losses. The track stretched behind them, fairly straight, for over 100 yards. Plenty of time for the rifles to put them down in the melting slush. And the river was death.
Into the trees, now!
The Sekhmet weren't used to that kind of speed. Illegal drinkers, muti hunters, an occasional small band of ragged guerrillas. That was the limit of their experience. The three fur-wrapped peasants moved far too fast for them to react. By the time any of them had their blasters unslung, the track was deserted. One of the Sekhmet was a secret Christian, and he surreptitiously crossed himself, suspecting that they might have encountered a trio of forest ghouls. His mother had warned him of such creatures. They had long tongues that rotated like steel drills and insinuated themselves into every orifice of the human body, draining all your precious fluids. In among the endless rows of conifers, Ryan ran and dodged, never once looking back. The trees were so close together that his shoulders brushed on both sides as he twisted and turned. On either flank, just a little behind, he was aware of Christy and JB following his headlong dash. Ryan had reacted so quickly that not a single shot was fired from the men in the jeep. By the time the Russians clambered down from the vehicle and ran to the place where the trio had vanished, there was no sign of them. The woods were lonely, dark, and deep. Major Commissar Zimyanin flicked through the report, one of dozens that landed on his desk every morning of every working day. He glanced through it, stopping, as his eye caught the familiar name. He ran the flat of his hand over the polished dome of his skull.
Peredelkino.
Only the day before there'd been something about a hamlet out that way, in the southwest sector of the grid.
Peredelkino.
There'd been three men missing. According to this report, they hadn't been located yet. But there was a mysterious corpse of a very tall muti.
Stuck in a doorway.
It sounded sufficiently bizarre to be interesting. But what was even more interesting was the account of the motorized Sek patrol that had been driving out on the river road and had come across three strangers.
The missing horsemen? No.
They'd all been male. One of these had been a woman. The descriptions had been amazingly sketchy. Wearing furs. Who doesn't at this time of year? Shortish man, glasses, tallish woman, maybe with red hair, and a tall man with only one eye. All of them could have been deaf muties? Deaf muties. He pushed the report from one side of his desk to the other, recalling another phrase from his English book.
Could you possibly repeat that? I regret that I am a little hard of hearing.
Still, the three seemed to have escaped, so that was the end of that. The descriptions didn't ring any bells at all for Zimyanin. Shortish man, redhead, man with one eye, nothing uncommon. In the country of brutality, the one-eyed man was common. There was no way that they could have been those ghosts from his past. Ryan crouched against the bole of a dead spruce tree.
We've got miles to go.
Christy threw off her furs, wiping sweat from her forehead.
Back to the house?
No choice. If the Freeze had been with us, we could have bluffed our way. I heard one warning shout from the guys in the Jeep. Once you stop, you're dead. Maybe they'll think we don't hear too good, or we're scared by the way they appeared.
JB was trying to clean his glasses on a kerchief from one of his capacious pockets.
Yeah, we have to go back. Be stupid to get holed up like that. Now we know they got sick men out. See the badge?
Ryan shook his head.
No.
Like you described those troops up in the snows, the Ruskies. Single silver circle. No doubt about it.
If they're regular soldiers, then they could have radio communications. Call up reinforcements. Sooner we get away from here, the better. That door to the gateway is well hidden, but not good enough if we finished up trapped in there. A few pounds of Plasex will bring the place on our necks.
Back to the trail?
Yeah, I figure it's the only way. We try and circle around and we're in trouble deep.
Christy replaced her pistol in its belt holster.
They could be waiting.
This wood's so thick that we could get close enough to chill them from cover. Long gun like those Kalashnikovs. Great in the open. Useless here. Can't see more than 6 feet in any direction. Knife's more use.
Time's wasting. Longer we wait, the more they got to cut us off. Let's go.
The approach of evening brought a return to the colder weather. But it was not nearly as lethally chill as it had been the previous day. The temperature slid down toward freezing, but the mixture of mud and thawing snow remained semi-liquid. It was difficult and treacherous to walk through. There was no sign of the Jeep along the track, though a set of double wheel marks showed it had driven as far along as the miserable little ville, and then returned in the general direction of Moscow. Ryan led the way around the hamlet, taking care to keep out of sight, guessing that the Sekhmen could have given some sort of warning about strangers in the area. The dog's corpse had been dragged away from the kill ground.
Gonna be a struggle to get to the house before full dark. Still a good few miles to go.
No point trying to hold up. It's the best place we got.
They heard the wolves when they were within the last mile, far off, almost at the edge of hearing. Across a distant valley, the noise echoed back from unseen hills, making it difficult to judge where the pack was running. Ryan put the direction some way behind them and to the south. But the noise was coming closer. It grew louder. In the centuries since Doomsday, many wild creatures have come back from the brink of extinction. Cougars and rattlers, grizzlies and wolves. During the tired embers of the 1990s, the creatures had been illegally poached and hunted into the remote high country and the desert fastnesses. It hadn't taken long for them to realize that their most bitter enemy, man, was all but gone from the land. So they returned, and they bred and they flourished. And in some cases, they also mutated.
How far away, lover?
5 miles. Getting nearer.
Hunting pack?
Christy nodded.
It moves around 15 to 20 miles in an hour if they're on a warm scent, and if they're hungry. If it's been a bleak winter in these parts, they could be real hungry.
The sun was long gone, with only the palest hint of its passing tinting the western sky. A three-quarter moon was sailing calmly through tattered relics of cloud. During the warmth of the day, a surprising amount of the snow had melted away, patches of white remaining only in hollows and shadowed places.
Don't want to lead them to the others.
Can keep them out of that place easy. There were shutters against the broken windows on the first floor. Doors were sound.
Sure.